This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and wow, I can't believe I sound like
you
that.
You still are unbelievable.
Yes, very
Joining
much
so. Joining us is Mr. Rich Zadow of the Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience, otherwise known as the keeper of airplanes that look like they're flying backwards.
Oh, come on. Everybody else looks like they're flying backwards.
Yeah.
So.
I was in the museum the other day, and the thought popped into my head, what if Orville and Wilbur saw one of those airplanes? What would they say?
Well, you know, that is just so bizarre that you brought that up, because one of the things that we're going to talk about is this year we have a theme. We come up here every year with a kind of a theme, and every year we've had a new T-shirt design, usually centered around one of the events we have, like the 50th anniversary of the Very Vegan or the 50th anniversary of the Very Easy or special Raffi airplane that we have. But this year we kind of departed from that, and our T-shirt has the Wright Flyer and a Long Easy, and it says conventional is overrated, because the very first airplane that ever flew was a Cunard Pusher.
Yeah.
I think you should have them pointing and going, ha, we're right.
Yeah, they were right. They were right. So that's kind of what we're our theme this year is that. We brought the Very Vegan, the world's only flying Very Vegan as far as we know still. I would love to see another one show up, and we also have the only left flying Solitaire. And one of our cozies and some long easies and all that stuff, and we're over on Easy Street. And this year I brought with me a new executive.
Yes, I forgot to introduce her.
Sandy Rusk, who's our VP of Aviation Development. She's come on board this year and has really, really helped the organization quite a bit. So we're growing.
I have to say that's kind of a nebulous title.
Why don't we let Sandy tell us what it really does?
Yes. What do you do?
So I feel like it's kind of all-encompassing, and I streamlined our operations, doing outreach, events, admin. And
so you get to fly in the airplanes to the events.
Right. Yeah. Passenger
nice.
Princess.
Oh. Now, she's going to be getting her license, I'm sure.
She already started.
So, there you go.
You know,
see?
This stuff is so contagious. You know, but
yes.
Keep going, Sandy. Tell us all the great things you've done.
Worked a lot with volunteers, volunteer acknowledgement forms, finance.
Everything.
Well, actually, she's kind of responsible for this year's theme. You know, a lot of these ideas over the years came from me. We're in our 11th year now. It's our 11th anniversary of being at Oshkosh, so we're going into our 12th year. We have 13 flying airplanes that have been donated to us. Just as many airplanes waiting for restoration, and we have just got a lot of stuff, and the support's been fantastic. So without people like Sandy, the organization can't function. We have to grow. So we've gotten a lot of new officers and a lot more members and a lot more growth. So we're excited to have her on board because she's done a lot. So, yeah. So you basically put together a committee and said, what are we going to do this year at Oshkosh? And I said, don't ask me. At some point, the torch is being passed.
Yeah.
Okay? And
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I've been doing this for too long.
Nice. So you want to drop back to just being a line pilot.
Yeah, I just want to be a plain old pilot and just have fun and fly. That's part of what we're focusing on, too, is developing a four-ship long, easy formation team that we can fly more in air shows and
nice.
Stuff. Because we've flown here at Oshkosh the years that Bert has been here. And then last year we flew in the Wings Over Houston air show down in Houston. So people are starting to recognize what we do on the air show side. And so we're excited to have that grow, which means we need more pilots and more funding and stuff like that. So that's been a fantastic journey, and we keep pressing forward with it. So
cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Fun airplanes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you guys have a dedicated facility to store all these aircraft, right?
We've grown so much that is a big problem for us. We have two hangars down in Houston at Ellington Field, and they're busting at the seams. The organization kind of grew up in Covington, Tennessee, because of my friendship with Robert Harris and the Jet Guy Shop, and the support there was good. And we wound up acquiring an 8,000 square foot hangar there that's busting at the seams, and we just have stuff everywhere. And so our flight school, the Cunard Flight Academy, is in Covington, but we're starting to grow that training program down in Houston using one of the cozies, the one that we brought. One of our chief flight instructor now is a guy named Kevin Douglas, who's a United 777 pilot and a lot of GA background. He's taken that over and doing a great job. So we've done our first cozy student down there in Houston just recently. So even on the flight training side, we're starting to grow.
So that is transition training for anyone.
Yes.
Just training pilots for your organization.
Yeah. We're open to anyone that's interested in flying along easy or very easy. You know, and we use the Speed Canard as our training airplane because it's standard category. But we can do it in the Cozy with the Lota. And so it works both ways. We've trained this year, just the last couple of months, two pilots who just finished their Cozy 4s. And so the amount of anxiety we can take away from that event of their first flight by letting them come out and train with us and fly the airplane, and then he can focus on, you know, their systems and their airplane and stuff like that instead of going out there and flying it for the first time and go, can I even fly this thing? So
right.
That's one of the greatest benefits we do with the Canard Flight Academy. So, but we'll take anybody, and we'll even take Paul Dye. he's like, I want to come out and train with you guys. Like, come on out, Paul. So he's going to come out and fly with us too, and probably write a good story. So.
Well, I'm wondering if you also supply test pilots for first flights.
Well, I do that. That's kind of my side gig. But Raffaele as a whole doesn't. But we will work with people that are getting ready to do their first flight. When a pilot comes to us for initial training because he's going to go home and fly the airplane he just finished, that training program is a little different than just the transition checkout because we sit down with that person and we really go through, okay, on your first flight, this is what you need to have in your head. These are the things you need to plan ahead. This is what your test card should look like. We have a test program that we use and we help them along with it. So it's a lot more involved. Because a lot of it is just having the right mindset going into that thing.
Yeah.
So, Yeah,
knowing when to say, okay, that's enough, I better land.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes into things that people don't think about. This one guy is flying his Cozy at an airport that's towered underneath Class B. You know, he can't get much altitude, and there's congested areas all around him. And I literally said, is there any way you can take your airplane apart and take it somewhere else?
Yeah.
You know, your very first flight, go someplace out in the country, you know. And so those are the challenges that people just finishing their airplane face. And they don't often think about it. They go, well, I'm going to fly here. Well, there's a better option out there, you know. And if there isn't a better option, then how do you deal with those contingencies? How do you make sure you go talk to the tower and say, I'm going to do this, and if I have a problem, I'm coming right. Don't put anybody in front of me. You know, don't tell me to go around, that kind of stuff. And because it's sort of overwhelming when you do your first flight.
Sure.
We help think through those processes. So
that's something you didn't think about. I mean, we live in the Philadelphia area, which is definitely crowded skies.
Yeah.
And there are a couple airports near us. The Chester County is a good 5,500 feet. That sounds like a great airport to train at, but it is not that far from PHL
right.
Airspace. So, right. Yeah, that's something to even think about.
Yep,
Richard, has anybody ever taken the time to figure out how many Rutan designs have actually been built?
Yes. AI just recently did that.
Yeah.
As you're asking me to spoil my, we have the two forums I give. Wednesday at 1 o'clock is the Future of Rutan Design Symposium, and well, we're going to talk about something that we call it the Canard Maintenance Crisis that's coming. And in that research for that forum, I had AI search the FAA registry. Because everybody says, how many easies are out there? Well, it's difficult because not all of them are registered as Rutan long easy. It could be Bob's long easy, whatever. But I use several different AI softwares to research it, and they all kind of averaged out. Sadly, there's 894 Rutan designs on the registry right now, but that's not all long easies. There's only about 500 long easies, 230 very easies, and 9 very big ones registered. But see, that doesn't mean they all fly.
Right.
We have the only flying very easy, but there's 9 registered.
Right.
So we really don't know how many are flying, but that's how many that AI said were registered. And that, you know, after all these years to have that many around, I guess is we ought to feel relieved at that. But we hope to inspire people to keep doing this and keep building that number. So come to the forum Wednesday at 1 o'clock and then Thursday at 10 o'clock, and we'll be talking about all kinds of things Rutan.
Okay.
So,
like learning how to fix them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big challenge for us right now because the little cottage industry guys that had the little shops that help people with their easies, they're all retiring.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all – so –
Listen to this, kids. There's a market there.
Yeah.
There's an opportunity.
Yeah. Well, there's a need. That's the biggest thing. There's
right.
a need.
Right.
So.
And right. you know, the other thing, too, is those are the ones that are registered. That's not counting all the barn finds and hangar queens that are sitting
well,
out
that,
there.
Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff on the registry that is stuffed away in
yeah.
barns. That's
yeah,
the
it's
problem.
Hard to tell. So there's, you know, Burt sold 15,000 sets of long, easy planes. And not all of them got built, obviously. But there are opportunities out there. There's lots of unfinished projects. You know, we have, you know, I told you about all the airframes we have. I think 8 unfinished projects that have been donated to us, which we'll probably never have the funding or the time to build. But we try to pair those up with people that want to, because we can make them a heck of a deal on one, you know, one hand, because we get, you know, the donated to us. But we find all the time what we call brown airplanes. They're just finished completely on the gear, firewall installed. Everything looks like an airplane, but it has not 1 ounce of micro on it, because nobody wants the sand.
Okay.
It seems to be like that's where they stop. So we try to get people inspired to jump that hurdle and finish their airplanes. So.
Well, they were also built in the days of vinyl ester, and that created its own set of problems.
Well, no, we didn't use vinyl. It was straight epoxy.
Okay, even then.
But there were some issues with the early epoxy, and that's when Bert had it reformulated into easy safety epoxy and an easy epoxy. But I'll tell you one of the challenges we're running into. Easy epoxies, aircraft spruce not carrying it anymore.
Oh.
So now we're having to go to other epoxies. And the epoxy world is very complicated, but there's a lot of stuff that's similar. And it's MGS. There's a lot of different epoxies that are just as adequate to build the airplane. So, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Rich Zadow and Sandy Rusk of the Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience.
You got it.
Thank you, guys.
I had to read the cheat sheet. And go to the forums. Where are the forums, real quick?
Wednesday at 1 o'clock. On our website, Rutan Aircraft Flying Experience, the schedule's posted. But Wednesday at 1 o'clock, Thursday at 10 o'clock over here in the forums. And we'll be talking about all kinds of things Rutan.
Very good. Right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.